Hey, glad you could make it. Welcome to Fantasy Dad Pods, where dad bods are glorified and dad jokes are encouraged. I'm JT, accompanied by Sean. Sean, how we doing?
We're doing pretty good. Vacation started today as of recording, and didn't mow the lawn for a couple weeks. Did that, looking tasty. Still got some weeds to do out there, but looking good out there. And then we, like I said, we redid all that, put all the IKEA stuff. All as of right now, all of my IKEA boxes are in the two the trash cans we have. And this wind has blown a little bit, JT. So I don't know if you know that. So I'm a little worried because they're sticking out. They're very large boxes. And it did blow over once on me during the week. So I'm like, just stay upright for, you know, just tonight. And I need you to be picked up tomorrow morning. But I'm just worried. I'm like, hopefully I got enough weight at the bottom of those suckers because they're big pieces of cardboard that's going to catch that wind. And just, it's making me a little nervous. But no, we're cleaning up. The house is looking good. Like, that's basically my week of staycation is just, I have a laundry list of things to do around the house, and that's just how it goes. That's
right.
Dad's staycations. That's what we do. So yeah, it's just chores. I saw a funny TikTok or reel or whatever Facebook calls it. I can't remember which one it was on, but it was the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And it was the mom was like, "Oh my gosh, I have all this great weekend planned. We're gonna like do this. Oh my gosh, great!" And the dad's like, "Yeah, thanks for the homemade card you did in 5 minutes. I'm going to go mow the lawn for an hour and a half in 100-degree weather. Like, cool. Oh, and you need me to fix the dryer. Okay." Like, and that's you know, that's what you sign up for as a dad. So it's okay. It's expected. And I think we both agree. I like mowing the lawn or doing the yard work. So nothing smells better than a fresh cut grass. And that's why we like baseball. Right? Right?
Absolutely. And how respect the heck out of those landscapers.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I always thought that could be my dad's second profession when he retired. Just go be a professional field landscaper.
They are like, they're so quick. Like by our house, like going to that elementary school over by our house, like that little road, it's JT knows what I'm talking about, but they tore down, like they've had this, like this neighbor has had like this very old fence, like not even barbed wire, but like chicken wire fence. Cause they have chickens. And they're putting up like the actual like concrete fence, like a brick fence. And that thing was up in like 3 days. Like I watched it every day. I'd walk the dog a certain path and they'd be like a third of it done. I'm like, man, that company. And they edged the grass too. And I'm like, machines, like absolute machines got that thing done in like 3 days. It was just, it's a lot of work and it's a big long fence. So I was like, oh my gosh, like they got that thing so fast. So it was impressive. As the kids say, let them cook, you know, like, there you go.
Right.
All right. So what about you? What about you? Baseball updates.
So we played since we last talked, we played a Saturday game and a Monday game. Saturday game was pretty disappointing. It was the warmest game of the year, and the kids were like, "Ah, it's so hot." I'm like, "Guys, it's 9 a.m. It's 73 degrees outside. This is perfect."
Yeah.
There's a slight breeze. This is pretty much what it is inside your classrooms, your house, I bet.
That's why I mowed the lawn today, 8:30 on my day. Yeah. It's like, it got hot fast. So, yeah.
So I was like, you know, so they just mentally weren't ready. They weren't into it. They weren't wanting it. So that was frustrating because it was also my birthday and I'm not too big of a birthday person, but I was like,
yeah,
like, can we at least try? Like, it was just kind of like this bummer of a, so we just, yeah, lackluster. Monday I totally changed new warm-up, pre-game warm-up, new speech before the game, just kind of different mentality, and we lost, but it was a good solid game. And I was okay with it. So it was step in the right direction. We got basically a doubleheader. We got a Friday Saturday game coming up. So see how that goes. But otherwise, yeah, Mother's Day is pretty low key, laid low, and not too much else.
Yeah.
Did you leave any cardboard for the kids to play with, like tunnels?
We have like a, it looks like the tunnels or the big, canopies we used to play with. We have like a ton of that they can play with already. The boxes with IKEA aren't like boxes because it's like desks, so they're really small and thin. You can't get in any of them, and I kind of cut them to tear them up, and so those were not ideal boxes. We did get one from Amazon, which we bought like an air filter, and they did like that one a little bit, but the youngest, the one who could actually fit in it, both boys could fit in it, but the youngest wants nothing to do with it. He does not like being confined in any way, so he was like in it, and he's like, immediately, no, I don't want to be in here, and so he was like, get me out. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
He almost was like, okay, let's do this, and then I immediately used it, and he played it like 5 minutes, and I immediately used it for trash after he's gone. Like, there you go. For like, yeah. All like our old papers that we didn't need in there, and just like tossed it. So it served dual purposes, but yeah, the boys were not as interested as like I thought, I was hoping they'd be. So we chucked those.
No. Nice. Oh, and one quick side note, I reminisced about Little League today with a coworker who's also a mutual friend of ours, who said, you guys been trying to get both your little ones together. Text and me. Then he kind of like, he's like, oh, I kind of forgot about it. I should text him back today. So it sounds, did he did?
He did. He did text me.
Because his youngest just had a birthday, I think.
Yep. So, or if not yet, very soon. One or the other.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. So anyway, shout out to Mikey D. So
there you go.
I didn't tell about our podcast. So I doubt he listens, but.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's. Yeah. He did text me. So yes. Yes. We are chatting. We would. I mean, I'd throw you an invite, JT, but I don't know what your boys are going to do with the 2 1-year-olds. like, I don't think it's they're going to be like, great. What are we going to do with these two?
Right.
Yeah. Like,
we're going to put a leash on them, treat them like they're little puppies and walk them around because all they do is crawl.
Yeah.
And probably put everything in their mouth. They're very much like a dog, probably.
They really, really are.
In some aspects.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. Although 80 crawl speed, like totally juked out, like legitimately juked out grandma earlier tonight. Like the young, like,
oops.
He went under the table and she's like, I'm coming under here. And then he was like, nope. And then went this other way. And I'm like, grandma, how, I'm doing the dish. I'm like, how did he get in the kitchen and you're still in the living room? She's like, I don't know. I'm coming. And I'm like, 80 juke, 80 speed. Like, just. No, we're going this way. Like, speed kills.
Wow.
You know what doesn't kill? Getting hurt. Adley. Yeah. Austin Riley. I don't know why I said Adley. I think I sort of combined the two things. MRI, left side tightness.
Mm-hmm.
Revealed only inflammation in that area. When I say that, they just said right side or tight left side. What is the area of the left side, air quotes? Like, there's like, it's only in that area. I'm like, it's literally the whole left side of your body. So it's only on half of his body is entirely inflamed. Doesn't sound great, but these are like, you know, up in the air things. It could just be like, oh, I need a couple days off, or, you know, like maybe a little bit longer. Nick Lodolo, left groin strain. Howie, your boy Reese Hoskins, 10-day IL, unfortunately.
Andy? Yeah, I was just trying to talk trade for a first baseman, and then he hit the IL, and trade talks kind of dissipated.
Yeah, that's rough. He's nice little year there.
It's been solid in OBP, and glad to see him bounce back from the injury last year.
Let's hope this one's not too. A bunch of people coming back, taking not fancy relevant, but JP Crawford started a minor league rehab and then immediately got plunked on the hands today. So that might be, I don't know if you guys have anyone out there rosters him, but yeah, it looks like a different injury might put him on the IL now. So that is fun.
The link says Harper, Real Muto, Trey Turner, and then all it talks about is Turner.
Yeah, I saw that. I was just
so... The only thing about Harper I know is he took a ball to the face from the catcher because he was standing in the batter's box.
Seemed fine, but yeah, that was a little funny. All the Yankees might be coming back soon. Cole LeMahieu and Jason Dominguez playing or all doing activities soon. So yeah, a lot of guys coming back. The Twins, Buxton, Lewis doing stuff, but again, a lot of these are. They're up in the air. There's no time frames confirmed. So we'll just play it by ear on everybody else. Snell is making a final rehab appearance. He's potentially returning next week, so cross your fingers.
Yeah. I see Bobby Miller, 2 simulated innings. That's kind of all the injury. So I can transition. I saw an interesting trade in the Facebook group that was offered. The guy was like, what should I do? It was Bobby Miller for Walker Buehler. I was like, that seems very like, why even offer that? Like, it doesn't.
Yeah, you're just.
I don't get it.
It's a very lateral trade. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on the same team too. Like, I so like if you, the only way if you're very similar pitchers, you're like, well, one is a better situation, but it's like it's literally they just pitch the back to back days. Like, it's like they're next to each other too. Like, I don't know why. I mean, yeah, I don't even know who I'd even prefer. I guess I would just prefer who I have. Like if I like draft them, then I would
like. That's why he's on my team is because I draft. Yeah.
I don't mind either of them. But again, I like they're basically even for me. People like I guess name recognition maybe Walker Buehler, but again, he's coming off injury. Bobby Miller's a less track record, but it's been pretty good. So I mean, both are good when I assume healthy. But like, I don't know enough. I don't know. I it's very very even actually. Yeah, I have no idea. I would probably
If I had to split hairs, I'd lean Bobby Miller because Walker Buehler, this should be his season of like, it could be a little sporadic.
If it's a redraft, then that's probably it. But if it's like a sort of keeper, maybe Walker has a little bit more upside, I guess. But again, like, is he ever going to get back to that? You know what I mean? Like, it is a bit major injury. Are they ever going to be that? Like, he'll be better than this, but is he going to be old Walker?
And then the other comical one I remember is Jackson Holliday got dropped in my dynasty league. How much fab should I put on him? I was like, all of it?
All of it.
Whatever you got?
Legitimately, like 90%. Like, legit. If you need some fab just to like literally make moves at the end of the year, but yeah, like 90%.
There was like 40, 50 comments when I clicked on it, and I swear like 42 of them were like, wow, sweet dynasty league. Can I join? Like basically that kind of sentiment. Like what kind of dynasty league is this where you're dropping
the number one overall prospect in baseball?
I was like, are we sure this is a dynasty league? It's not just like a quote unquote kind of like deeper league where you have like a, like two or three, you know, like minor league spots.
Yeah.
Which even then I could kind of understand.
Even if you have any sort of
would be crazy, but it would be more reasonable, quote unquote. But yeah, it was just funny overall.
Man, yeah, I want to join that league, especially if it's for money. Can I join and can we put money on it?
Oh man, but yeah, that's pretty much all the injuries. But yeah, it's, if you ever want some good content just to read, there's Facebook groups for. And a lot of trade advice being thrown around. I even offered a couple. Some people were asking some questions recently, and I was offering some. So whenever I see that, I feel like I should like if I can get in early and not repeat somebody else, I'll just like say it. If somebody already said what it is, I'll just like it or whatever. But
and plug the pod. There you go. You got it.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, feel to tweet at us if you have a question. Fantasy Dad Pods on the Twitter X, but. Just so you know, there's many fantasy advice being given in Facebook groups, whereas like Twitter X, I feel like it's more like, check out this like top 10 board of whatever, you know, it's like, it's a lot more
players who hit at home on Tuesdays. Yeah. Yeah.
There's it's very specific niche, quick information, which is also has its value, but it's more in real time. It's not much more. I don't know. Not really a forum per se.
It's not. I feel you like X or Twitter is more niche and like hyper focused versus like Facebook. It's like, what's a Jackson Holliday?
Yeah. Right. Let's have a discussion about
What is this? And I'm like, oh, what is B/ what is it? K breaking balls to fastball ratio. Yeah, is that how this works? Yeah.
And like, is that good? Is high or low good?
Yeah, that's forever in my heart, Rob. I appreciate it. Yeah,
shout out.
Okay. So. Dad's strength. Aaron Judge, 473. Oh boy.
That's a dinger in all ballparks, just so you know, for those at home.
Safe to say?
Yeah.
You don't have to check the Statcast on that one? Okay.
No.
Okay, 470. All right.
So yeah. So this is the leaders over the last 7 days since May 8th. Yeah. Dang.
Spencer Torkelson, Shea Langer up here, like with the big fellas, the Otani's, the Stanton's, the Ronald Acuna's. So
Hunter Goodman. I don't know who that is. He's got a baby face.
Who does he play for?
Is it Colorado on his bill?
Yes, you're correct.
They always have the just out of, I was going to say out of left field, but looks like he's a right fielder.
Yeah, yeah.
Just random. Man, he's totally got that Jackson Holliday, like, blushing cheeks baby face.
Yeah. These are children.
24 out of Tennessee.
JT, so, number 14, Joe Adele. Hit one almost 440. I'm just saying.
Pick him up. I saw you did. Finally.
I took my own fantasy advice. At a certain point, you know, 3 years in, maybe you should talk about it. Maybe you should actually do it. But yes, I did. Juan Soto. I have a lot of information to say about another stat, new Statcast thing about all these people, basically. John right. included, Juan Soto included.
Yeah, Juan Soto's a unicorn. Let's just say that.
He's an angel. Actually, so is John Carlos Stanton for also a good reason too. But we'll get there. It's pretty much Mike Ford up here, 427. Good. Mike Ford hit a triple, JT. I don't know if you know that.
Holy cow!
We're just gonna ruin it. Do you have anybody else for this week?
Shout out Josh Naylor, Dad Bod, Dad Strength, 440.
I'm just gonna say Mike Ford hitting a stand up triple.
Really? Nothing?
End up triple in Arizona.
Nefarious?
Ball took a weird bounce, but it wasn't like...
Anything like...
Yeah, it wasn't like
totally
broke his leg, you know, and he's like out there like, yeah, no, it just took a weird bounce and he stand up triple. So, good on you, Mike Ford.
Good. I almost forgot about him, thankfully, but, you know, no disrespect.
Hey, he's cashing a major league check right now, you know?
That's true.
Get your paycheck. Let's see. I mean, like, that's pretty good. Let's see what we got for, like, exit velos.
The dad strength of Giancarlo Stanton.
Just
119.9. We just crowned Otani the week before in our last pod. And that night I said, well, the stats haven't updated, but Giancarlo took the number one spot that
have
day.
Have you seen O'Neill Cruz's 119 hit?
Yes, it
looks like it's one-handed.
Yeah.
It is so ridiculous. I'm like, did he hold both hands on that bat or just like, eh? And like, you know, he hit it so hard. He almost got thrown out at second off the wall. He hit it too hard. And we talked about it last year, too. Like, I'm like, you need to, like, hit it actually not as hard because you're keeping yourself from hitting doubles. Like, and when we had that conversation, I'm like, it's ridiculous. But we do. Like, he almost got thrown out on that play, hit at 119, hit so hard, and bounced off the wall. And it didn't bounce off the wall on the fly. It was it rolled to the wall.
He's got three here in the top seven, and they're nearly identical. 14 degree launch angle, 14 and 11. They are just, and I don't know if the pitcher should know this, but, like, don't pitch to him middle in?
Yeah, because he's middle in.
He's just,
lefty. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Just like pitch location is just middle in, and it's ridiculous.
Crazy. He's hitting balls off the wall, like ground. These balls bounce and roll to the wall, but it's so hard. He's having to slide, and it's like bang bang plays because they're hit so hard that even the grass is like, okay, we got to chill here. Like, it's just crazy. It's so difficult. It's so, like, absolutely 119 though.
God. And shout out It is on three different type of pitches.
That's good to see.
He had a four-seam fastball, a changeup, and a slider. Each 119, 118, 116. Like, and it's the same hit.
Yeah, result. He's been struggling pretty early in the year, pretty bad, but it's good to see him, like, get in the groove. Because, like, again, you make contact, it's dangerous. I mean, I'm watching Giancarlo Stanton's home run. That ball never goes more than 20 feet in the air. Obviously, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but seriously, like, the launch angle on that thing is just like, it doesn't clear. You know how you get like these monstrous mammoth shots, you know, they're above, like they're in the trip, they're on the upper deck, or they're like way up there floating. That ball doesn't clear the second deck at any point, and it still lands in the second deck. You hit that thing so hard. Like, talk about a line drive. Like, my goodness. Wow.
Shout out to Vladito. He's got 5 in the top 22 exit velos over the last week.
There you go.
I'm going to put you on the spot. How many were double-digit launch angles?
He has 5, you said? 2.
Yep, 2.
Okay, I just figured that was a pretty safe number, but yeah.
12 and 12, and then he's got an 8, a 6 degree, and a 1 degree.
A 1 degree? Oh my gosh. Vlad, just, you got to do something. We're talking superstar status, man. If you just like,
right,
like 5 degrees or like even like, I'll take whatever. Just like, you can't have like 8. You know, you can't be averaging 8. I mean, top 18. We got O'Neill Cruz in here 1, 2, 3, 4 times. Like,
just so you can visualize, 114 degree ball pretty much hit up right back up the middle, just left of the mound in the grass. It literally lands where the mound is. So it only got back 66 feet or whatever. So that's what 114 at 1 degree. That's how far it travels.
That is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Right there. Hit distance, 68 feet. So, yeah, I was pretty much spot on.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Fly. Watching it. Yeah, it hits. Broke that thing, though. I mean, it is still, when it's rolling into center field, you can see it still rolling with some kick. I'm like, I don't know who the left fielder is, but I'm like, you better get over there and cover that, because that's gonna roll.
Right.
Like it's moving. So, but yeah, Corbin Burns throws it real hard. Yeah, man, that is just please elevate it, man. Just Yandy Diaz on here.
Yep.
A double though. Those two hit hard, but just don't gotta get it in the air.
Brent Rooker. That was another thing on these Facebook forums. A lot of like, is Brent Rooker legit? Do I need to sell high, or should I, like, enjoy the ride? And I thought that was a really good question, because I could go either way. I think you're selling high if you, and I probably am in the boat, if you don't think these counting stats will last. It's Oakland. I think they're playing well, but the counting stats, the runs, RBIs, I don't think that'll keep pace. So sell high if that's what you're focused on. But I would keep, because the power is legit. He's a 30 home run guy last year. He's just making better quality contact. He's hitting the ball, you know, but his sweet spot percentage is up. His exit velo, his fly ball, it's all the same. It's just like he is making more contact and better contact. And I'm like, that's legit. The legit is the 30 plus home runs. The legit is the slugging, the XWO. Like, it's all legit. So it's just like, if you are asking about that, well, no, it's not going to just, the bottom ain't going to fall out. He is earning it for sure. So like, keep in that regard. So I thought I was like, ultimately it's what you get out of it. What, like, reach a little bit, try to find someone who's hurting for that position or something, and try to get, you know, something valuable out of it that's worth it. And so otherwise, hang tight and still enjoy it, because I think it'll maintain.
That was actually brought up to me when he was talking about how he loved Seattle a couple of years ago, hitting in Seattle, and everyone's like, trade for him. And I was like, my thought is, like, I was looking at it from a real perspective, like real baseball perspective. But like, in a redraft fantasy league, you're like you said, he's already playing in Oakland, which is a terrible ballpark to play in for hitters.
Mm-hmm.
He all of his stuff is red. Other than, like, he strikes out. Okay, guys who hit 30 home runs strike out. Like, it's not shocking that that's on there already. You know, he chases too much, he misses too much, and he strikes out too much. you know what, you hit home runs. Let's just go. It's if you aren't red in that and you hit a bunch of home runs, then you're Ohtani. You know, like, I don't even know if Ohtani's that way. You know, you're Mookie Betts. Like, we're talking top five. So shame on you for, you know, not being literally perfect like Ohtani. So yeah, like, everything's like bat speed's elite. Like, it's just, it's overall value, like, looking at the percentile, is 95th, like, in baseball for batting. I don't really care too much about base running and fielding, but I just don't see any reason. Like, he sweet spot, he walks a good clip, he's gonna get on base. Like, yeah, I think he's real. So I honestly, I don't know if everyone has a price, but like I said, I'd be even more like willing to hold on to him. Like, if I rostered him in real baseball, because like, everybody has a price. You're offering him a Ohtani, sure, but like, I don't think you're gonna get fair value for him. I think so many people, I mean, it depends on how knowledgeable your league is, but most leagues just don't understand how valuable Brent Rooker is, like, or how good he is. So when someone's gonna come to you and ask for Brent Rooker, I don't think you're going to get fair value for it. So I would probably just hold.
Yeah. I think the savvy trade would be, you're hurt. Your team's hurt. You got too much IL. You got to go like trade one of your guys for like a two of theirs situation. And you throw in Rooker as the kind of like, hey, he's a solid player. I need whatever. I'll give up my top tier pitcher. I need, you know, whatever it is, a lesser pitcher, and just throwing me an outfielder. So I got a bat with a pulse in the lineup. You downplay it. You're just kind of like, I feel like you could sneak it that way, because you giving up Rooker is not going to be worth it. But you getting him in this kind of it's got to be multiple. It's got to be two for three. It's got to be two for two. It's got to be something. A one for one isn't going to be the way it.
You touched on it. RBIs are probably the one thing that's not going to continue for him, but he's going to hit a home run, so he's going to hit himself in. He's going to walk, and he's going to have a good on-base percentage because of the walks. And the home runs, you know, those things are all dependent on him. So I'm looking at it here where we could switch to, like, or we could, we'll talk about it, but, like, he's only rostered in 56% of the leagues in ESPN. What are we doing here? See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think people understand how good Brent Rooker is. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that he's rostered less than Jonah Heim, I'm just like, Jeremy Pena. You know, I'm just like, what, they're just different people. They're different categories. Like, I just, like, not even the same world. But did you want to touch on the bat cast?
Yeah. Because okay. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I would say, within the last week or so, is this another, I mean, StatCast seems to be coming out with some new leaderboards, I think you'd call it. The most recent one was like bat swing speed, average bat speed. And it was like Giancarlo Stanton, look how amazing it is. You know what I remember? The average bat speed leaderboard was kind of like this who's who of three true outcomes. They struck out a ton. Yeah, they hit monster home runs, but like, it was, you know, it wasn't top tier fantasy type guys. It was like the guys that are just like all or nothing. And I was like, well, that's not a great stat to be the top in per se. So I don't know if we want to talk about that at all later, but this newest one, it's interesting. It's a squared ball percentage.
Squared up,
I guess. Yep. Squared up per swing. So yeah, squared up per swing percentage. So a squared up swing is a swing that has a max attainable exit velocity based on the speed of the swing. So if your your swing speed divided by your exit velocity was 80% or greater, then you squared up that ball and you got most all of it, because only a ball that is quote unquote squared up gets that ratio of at least 80% of its values transferred in through the ball. So that leaderboard, it's kind of like they have a leaderboard for it, but then they also have a plotted graph where it's like squared up swing, and then the pivot table also has the average bat speed. I thought that was really interesting. But yeah, what's your first takes on either or both? Or...
So I've listened to multiple pods about this.
Okay, cool.
And how they did it. Two things that's really funny. They had to double check John Carl Stanton because the computer's like, not real. Let's get rid of it. They're like, no. John Carl Stanton's real. So fix that. So, and the second thing as they kept diving into it, they're like, Juan Soto is an alien. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy swings so hard. But like you said, through true outcomes, they're like, but Juan Soto walks and makes really good contact and doesn't basically play the through true outcomes because he could do everything. They're like, the guys was talking about it when he developed it was like, he's so good. And I just realized by doing this, I'm like, we underrate how good Juan Soto still is. Just what he does with the baseball bat. He is an alien, like compared to compared to everybody else. He does everything and he does it. Everything basically elite level on offense. And it's just, it's not fair. And so, yeah, Juan Soto is an alien. And John Carl Stanton is an alien for swinging it so effing hard. like all the time. Like, all the time. Toward the point where the computer was like, this guy isn't real. You made it up. And they were like, no, he's real. Like, this is a real thing that happens. And the computer's like, okay, then. Oh, all right. Okay. Good to know. So I think, honestly, like you said, I actually really like... Obviously, there's a lot of, like, combining... I view, like, a lot of these StatCast metrics, you're combining them with other stuff. And I feel like... this combined with like, what was it? Someone gave a good example. I can't remember exactly, but like this combined with some other stuff, like really lends to like what you sort by average bat speed, and the top 10 is like guys who are playing very well for the most part, or guys that if in a couple weeks you're like, okay, he's turning it on and figuring it out. Like the two that are struggling are Julio Rodriguez and Ronald Acuña, top 10, 4 and 10. We both assume that they're going to get better. It's going to turn around. So I'm like, okay, this is awesome. Then you have like Joe Adell and O'Neill Cruz in there. Joe Adell's playing well. And O'Neill Cruz, we just talked about, is hitting everything super hard right now. But then you have guys like Wilson Contreras playing great. Juan Soto playing great. You know, you got Aaron Judge, who was struggling in the beginning, but just with the average. But like, these are guys who are guys. And I feel like... There's a lot of things that could be done with this, and I really like it. My favorite thing is swords. Hilarious. They did actually work with Pitching Ninja for this. It is pointed out in the definition. They worked with him and they figured out what it was. So swords are basically like swings you're embarrassed on as the batter, and it is a pretty fun stat to look at. Just to be honest, like I don't know how much I hold into it. You know, like I'm like whatever, but I'm like that's just fun. Like, that's just a fun stat. So, blasts are basically like, it's basically like barrel. You know, it's just basically a different version of a barrel with like, just different parameters. So that was really nice too. I like blasts a lot and swords. So yeah, it's fun. I really enjoyed looking into this, and they're going to release more stuff too. So this is not it. There's going to be like, that's like basically half of it. They're going to wait for more data and then come out with more during the season. So that looks really, it looks really fun to play with this. It's really cool.
Yeah. It's the plotted graph is really cool. Cause Juan Soto's literally on an island.
He is such an alien. Like, it's just like, you kind of see William Contreras and Otani. And then, but like, they're sort of near the pack. And then once I was like,
yeah,
I do it all. Like, I do everything.
Shout out to, obviously, Otani. We can't go a podcast without mentioning him. But shout out to Willem Contreras. I mean, that's impressive. It's just like, what, second full season in the bigs? And especially at a catcher. But yeah, like, Giancarlo is on an island in, you know, in a half good way. His bat speed's elite, but... he squares it up below average, whereas Arias.
Yeah, there are three islands: Giancarlo's bottom right, Juan Soto. And you're looking at your bar graph, top right, which is like good, and Luis Arias way in the, like, they almost had to expand the graph to fit him in. I'm pretty sure they did. Like,
right,
top left,
43.6% squared up swing.
Yep. Swings so slow, the slowest in baseball. A lot of contact guys at the bottom here, but. It doesn't necessarily a bad thing though. Like Justin Turner's here and he's killing it. Like Josh Rojas is killing it.
Yeah.
He's seventh. Like it's just like Stephen Kwan was having a great year before he got hurt. Like it does play that there are like maybe there are a couple ways to get it done. Obviously, like, you know, hitting 114 miles an hour is really good, but like at the end of the day, I think they figured out the math equation is the speed of the ball and everything like that and how good it's gonna be is 80% bat speed, 20% pitcher. Because obviously that's just how physics works. But like it is largely driven by the batter. How fast you're getting through the zone. But if your goal isn't to hit it 425 feet every time, there is room to play here. Like there is things you can do. And someone was brought up, Justin Turner there said, like, I wonder if this is like, because old Justin Turner is the only data we have for this, like, or was this always just Justin Turner? We'll never know the earlier stuff.
Right.
Like, I'm really curious to if like this is like who he's always been and we're just figuring it out now, or has he adjusted very well? And this data can maybe help guys adjust a little bit. Because again, we talked about there's the bottom seven guys, there's four guys who have been very good this year. So maybe there's like, if you change your swing, okay, maybe I can't swing as hard, but I got to like adjust how I do this and still be a functional player. So I think.
I just saw that like the pivot table, you can kind of change some of the X or Y axis things, but it doesn't have the full savant like fields available to you. Because what I would love to do is put squared up and sweet spot on a pivot for an X and Y axis and see that, because I feel like that would marry really well together.
Yeah.
Because you're scoring up the ball in terms of optimal efficiency of your swing, you know, in terms of exit velocity, but you're also you put that against a sweet spot in terms of the optimal launch angle of a batted ball. And I think that would be really fun to see on a scatter plot. Some of the other names that stand out, I mean, Mookie Betts, did we mention Mookie yet? Like he's
no, but yeah,
slightly below average bat speed, which again, I don't know how much I'm valuing it. Like it's what it is, but he's third in squared up percentage, just behind Soto. But then Brendan Donovan here, fourth. Jung Ho Lee just hit the IL, unfortunately, with the shoulder thing. And that's one thing we didn't mention. They found something. They're getting a second opinion, which is unfortunate.
Oh,
oh boy, hit the IL. So, yeah, he, left shoulder? So, yeah, that's not good. So, and then Nico Horner, just one of those names where you think, you know, contact hitter, and him being up here kind of confirms with that. Mark Canna with a kind of a turnaround season. So a lot of those names that you would probably expect having a good year, Alec Baum and stuff like that. So
I think it's also funny the fast swing rate. They did find a little bit of evidence of sometimes on two strike counts, people just try to make contact. Giancarlo Stanton does not play by those rules. 98%. He's like, every single time I'm giving everything I got. He does not back down at any point. So I respect the game, you know, don't back down. So, but for context, that is over 20% higher than the number second two person. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. O'Neill Cruz at below 75. Giancarlo Stanton's above 98%. He doesn't play by the rules. He wants no part of that. So respect it. Respect it. Does not wants no part of your games. Chicks dig the long ball. We all saw the commercial in the 90s. You know? We all saw it. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Does this mean... Would this also correlate... I know it doesn't really matter too much. Average exit velocity. Does that mean Soto... Yeah, Soto's second overall in the season?
Yeah.
I was going to say, because if he's got one of the highest squared up, but a very high bat speed... The percentages would say he should have a really high exit velocity average. Now, I don't know if that really translates to anything, but we know he has a good, he's got 34% sweet spot, which is really good. And then his average launch angle is 10 degrees, which is solid. So, that kind of confirms.
Let's move on to ads. we already talked about Brett Rooker, 56% of the roster. That's ridiculous. Pick him up. Ryan Jeffers, I just... He's a catcher, and I'm just getting nervous, and the Twins always get hurt, but I'm just like, I see you roster him. Sub 80%, I'm just like, he's a catcher who has 10 home runs. It needs to be 100. Like, it's like he's a catcher. Like, he has a 370 on base. I like, again, he's a catcher. Any sort of life from a catcher, let alone, like, super elite production, it needs to be 100. It needs to be a 1 and 2 zeros, or 99 is what, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous at this point. Like, there's a lot of injuries going around a catcher, too. Like, you've got to Ryan Jeffers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just...
OBP catcher elite.
He's doing everything with steals, but again, it's a catcher. Everything but steals. Right? Like,
yeah. He's been hitting in the top of that lineup the whole season. Like, he's... Yeah. He just has first leadoff home run in his career.
Like, he has home runs in the last three games. Like, just...
So, can I admit something here on the podcast, yeah. Circle of Trust, yeah. And all? So, we have that 14-team league that you mentioned that I have Jeffers in. I have not one, not two, not... But I have a 6 Minnesota Twins out of my 11 batters I have on the team. Is that too many?
Well, it's probably too many. One, yes. But we talked about it before. The only reason it's too many... Well, one is because it's just too many to have on one team, but like... If they're healthy and playing, that is a good lineup. The problem just is, like, I have a twin, and that twin is hurt. It's not in this league. So, like, honestly, if the entire Twins are healthy, I think, like, 8 of their starters would be rostered. Or, like
rostered. Well, I have 6 of them.
I have 1. That's 7. Like, literally 7. So, like, but it's just, like, they're going to get hurt. And one of them is probably Royce Lewis that I do not roster. So, and someone else probably is, and he's hurt. So, like, that's probably 8. You know what I mean? Like, and I someone else is probably rostering somebody else that we don't know of. So, like, it's a very good lineup, but it's just like, oh, they're always going to get hurt, and it's just terrifying. But, yes.
Yeah. Well, so, I obviously didn't do this. I don't like it. I hate that it is, because they just faced a left-hander in Rodon yesterday, and 3 of them sat, and I have 1 bench player, so it's not like...
That's the way it is. They're all good players. I don't...
Yeah.
For the players, it's just like... It's like that. If they... Or they get a rain out. I'm like done today. Like...
But...
Yeah.
To clarify, my draft strategy was... It was an auction league. I put most of my budget into pitching. And it's a categories week-to-week league, but it's just 1 win on the line. So you got to just win the majority of categories to get 1 win. So I'm like, I want to dominate pitching, and hopefully I can get a hitting category or 2 to try to solidify the week. So it's like, obviously not ideal, but injuries kind of played a part, and it's like, it is what it is.
Yeah. What do you think about Abraham Toro? I only ask that because he's been a little hot for Oakland, but like, he has so many eligibilities, 3rd, 1st, and 2nd. And that 2nd is obviously like what's going to drive it, but like 4 home runs, 2 steals, it's not going to be sexy, not going to be crazy, but like a 350 on base percentage, like at 2nd base, is there something here? Like, is there worth, he's rostered in 26% of leagues. Like, I've often said, anyone who plays 2nd and does any sort of thing, same with catcher, you got to take a look. You got to look at it. So,
I think right now he's definitely rosterable. I would say he's on that streaky kind of, not that it's a track record, but just ride the wave right now. He's playing every day. Obviously, we talked about Oakland. We don't know how long this is going to last. And he's one of those players that's going to last as long as he's, you know, unconscious. So I just ride the wave, but know that it's not going to probably last till all-star break. If it does, that's wonderful, but that'd be a very small chance. But I agree with the 2nd base and the multi and all of it. It's just, it's a ton of counting stats in the last couple weeks, and it's like, it's not sustainable, but jump on board if you need, you know, 3rd base or 2nd base, or
yeah,
for sure.
You got anybody that you're liking?
I've Kepler on the team, but he started off the season really bad, but it's just like it was very apparent he came back or he was injured.
And he went on the IL. Yep.
He wasn't fully healthy coming out of spring training and came on the IL. And since he's been back, he's just been just ridiculous on base percentage. And the counting stats are there. And there's at one point, he was like a 2 week stretch of a 500 OBP playing almost like every single day. It was crazy.
He's played in the last 15 games for the Twins. He has hits in 14 of them, and the only one he didn't, he went 0 for 1 because he pinch hit.
The other one, I know we don't really talk about guys who are maybe like plus 70% or so, but the fact that Bryson Stott is only 79% and it's not 100.0 is ridiculous. That is the number one second baseman in fantasy baseball. And pick him up right now. Trade for him right now. I don't care, but it's a disgrace that it's only 79.6 in ESPN. Just pointing it out.
Oh yeah, like I was definitely looking at him, and I'm like, the man. I was looking it up. Actually, as funny as you say it, he's probably like top 13. No, a little bit less. He's top 20 in walks in the entire season. I only say that because, like, his 22 walks and 10 steals. Even he's going to throw in 3-4 home runs. But, like, he's a second baseman who has 10 steals and is, like, up. He has in walks, runs, RBIs, and walks. He has over 20 in all of them to go along with 10 steals and basically have 400 on base. Like,
yeah, last 2 weeks.
We just talked about freaking Abraham Porter. Like, what are we doing here? Like, Abraham Porter has 22 runs and has 20 and nothing else. He has 8 walks. And he's rostered in almost 30% of leagues. You're right. It's Scott is, or Stott is like, it just needs, like, it needs to be a 9-0, 9-9. Like, it just, like a man, he needs to be a 9-9. Like, it's just ridiculous. See, who else do I have? It's along the same boat. I have more faith in the other two guys we talked about, but it's Josh Rojas. Like, he just keeps getting hits, and Mariners' offense is just like, it's hard because he's got like 8 RBIs. He's got 12 runs, but he just got moved up to the top of the lineup. He just keeps getting hits, and I'm just like, at some point the rest of the Mariners' offense will get hot. We start to see it happening now. So if he's gonna bat at the top of that lineup and the guys behind him start to warm up and they're starting to get healthy, if he just keeps like getting sort of on base, I don't expect the 400 on base for the season to continue. But right. I thought it was gonna end 2 weeks ago, so I'm like, I'm just gonna keep rolling with it until it doesn't happen. He's rostered in 10% of leagues, and he plays second and third. I'm just like, the counting stats will come. He has 3 home runs and 4 stolen bases and with a 400 on base. I'm like, the RBIs and the runs will come if, like, this offense heats up. And he's basically free right now. You could probably waiver him for, like, $1. And he's second place, second base. And then when he cools down in 3 weeks, then you just drop him. But, like, he plays second. We're talking about all second basemen today. I feel like second baseman and catcher, like, but that's the position everyone's looking for, really, right? Like, honestly.
Yeah, let's do it. We've mentioned Luis Garcia Jr. last pod, so he's only 16.6% rostered. Second baseman, Washington.
Davis Schneider. We both didn't believe he's still playing really well. The issue is the Jays don't still play him all the time, and I'm like, he's like your one. You have like 2 good hitters this year. Like, he plays second. Like, he's been very good in the time he plays. He has less than 100 at-bats this season. There are people who have, like, almost 200. And I'm just like, he's done good things with those at-bats.
They're trying, because there's one platform that has him at second, third, and outfield. So, in ESPN, he's second in outfield. But it's like, he's getting playing time wherever they can.
And I'm just like, let him play, because he's, like, one of your 3 guys hitting. And he plays, and like in fantasy, he has second base eligibility. So I'd be really frustrated with his playing time. So Another second baseman.
Yeah.
But
let's see who else. Let's say, yeah, if Bryce Terang is 72.9% rostered, yeah, let's bump up those numbers for Rojas. I mean, they put pants on one leg at a time, like the rest of us. But after that, they put out gold records because they just all they do is make hits.
They just make hits. That's what they do. Let's see. Let's go to pitchers and see some pitchers that I wanna pick up. Well, how's Paul Skeens like the number one riser? Who was not rostering Paul Skeens? Like, what leagues were not drafting Paul Skeens? Okay, but besides that, yes, draft Paul Skeens or pick him up. That was an insane game. Did you see his first game, JT?
Yeah, it was electric.
Well, that and they after he left, they walked 6 runs in.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, his earned runs weren't really earned per se. They walked
6 runs in that inning. the rest of Pittsburgh.
Was that a rain delay?
Yeah, that inning took 3 hours almost.
Rain delay, and then they came back and they kept walking another. Yeah, just came in.
Six runners were walked in. Is the second most all time. Like that record was like 19, like 20. And then they came back and won. Like it was just like the craziest game. But like, yeah, Paul Skeens looked really good. Like, like don't follow the whole 6 ERA. Like it was much more nice than that. So let's see here. Garrett Crochet, like he's been doing some nice things recently, JT. Did he just pitch today? He did. 5 innings, yep. 4 runs. So 3 walks, it's a lot, but again, like you could live with that. Like 6 strikeouts. But
it's 3 walks over the last 3 starts. I mean, his previous two starts, 0-17 strikes.
I don't care about the rest of your stats at the end of the day if the earned runs are 0. You do whatever you're gonna do, 0. Like that's the stat I look at the most. So there we go. I mean
he is just stream. Stream. If he's got a decent matchup, he can get you a strikeout in an inning, and you better be in a quality start league, because if you're in a win league, I don't know what you're doing in a win league, first of all, but
yeah, he's never gonna.
It's very lucky he's gotten you 3 wins in a row, but yeah, I agree.
What about Trevor Williams?
I've been kind of dabbling with him here and there. I have him like on my 15 team league bench, and I've been kind of spot starting him. And of course the one I'm like, okay, I'm just going to bench him against Baltimore. And he goes 5 innings, no earned, no walks, 8 Ks, got the W.
He's had and no then, passes, like just none.
Yeah. But then I don't understand. You go against the White Sox. Of course it's at the White Sox, but you go 1 earned 5 innings, but it was 2 Ks in a walk. Like, I don't know.
He never will get you a quality start. He's got one. And he's like, all right, 5 innings. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Not going to strike out a ton of people, but they're not going to score any runs, and I'm going to leave. Yep. I'm just like.
So he's the one you want in a win league. He's got a second start this week against the Phillies. And again, I'm like, I guess I'm okay rolling him out there if you need it, you know, to end your week.
The two pickups, Trevor Williams and Paul Skeens, they're going to cancel each other out. Skeens is going to strike out everybody. Trevor will trick anybody, but like together,
with their powers combined,
yeah, like you can bounce that out, and like, yeah, they might want to give you quality starts this year because I don't know if any of them are going to be allowed to go that far. But ratio wise and other numbers wise, it'll probably look pretty good with the two of them.
Oh, yeah, same kind of vein of Trevor Williams. I was going to point out Eric Fetty. I think that's how you pronounce it. I should know because he was a KBO. Darling,
where is he at in this? Where's he?
He's most recently 6.3% added, so he's 31.9% rostered in ESPN. He's been pitching well, and in the KBO, he was a fantasy darling. It was the KBO league that I've been doing since COVID was fun having him on the roster. I kind of miss him, but he's kind of like. Translated that over in a sneaky way. He's been pitching really well. He had one bad start against St. Louis, but otherwise, his last 5 starts, like It's been at least six innings.
Bad starts really all year, and that's really
good. Yeah, it's again one of those sneaky. It's like a White Sox pitcher where you're like, man, I don't want to fully trust it, but like doing pretty well. And you know, he figured himself out overseas and in Korea and South Korea. So I think it's almost like a Chris Flexen thing because he was a KBO guy. Comes yep. over, he'll. I would think Fetty probably just has some good success this year, next year, and then they might figure him out eventually. But like, nothing stands out tremendously. But he's pitching well right now, and that's kind of all that matters.
Yeah. The other guy you roster, how is Brian Wu only 25% rostered?
Because people.
He just came off the aisle. I get it, but I'm just like.
Live under a rock. I don't know.
He needs to be a lot. I think that it was like, man, all the Mariners starters can't be like that good. I'm like, incorrect. There is a Death Star that just got formed. So knock on wood, but yeah. I did quote that with somebody today. I was like, it's complete. Like, and then he went today, went five. He's still coming back, working up. But I saw it was like the first time in like Mariners history, like 100 starts where he was so efficient with the strikes. He had like, it was like 80 total pitches and like 61 were strikes or something like that.
Wow.
Like it was just like, he's like pumping the zone. So he got five innings. He was basically maxed out 80 pitches, one earned run, three hits, one walk, whip a .75. And his ERA on the season is what? 1.69.
Yeah.
Yep.
Another young buck who isn't rostered nearly enough. Christian Scott. I think this might be the second or third week we've mentioned him. Obviously, the word's not getting out. So you need to tweet at us, retweet this podcast, share it with your friends, because Christian Scott is legit. He's staying around for now. The playing time's the only question. His potential and pedigree is there. He's faced Tampa Bay and Atlanta so far.
And he's up to now?
He's 16% rostered in ESPN. And so he's faced Tampa Bay and Atlanta on the season, 12 2/3, 14 Ks, an ERA of 2.8, and a whip of 1.11. That's two very good outings against two very good offenses. And guess what? He gets Miami this Friday.
There we go. Say less.
Pick him up.
Say less.
So, say less. Him and... Wu. Who's Wu get? Oh, no, Wu just pitched today, you said. So, yeah, he won't pitch till next week.
I don't know. I don't know who they get. They have a little bit of a tougher schedule. Maybe the Yankees, I think. I just think the Mariners pitchers are, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. Mm-hmm. I just think they're just too good. It does not matter.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to do the thing, and you're just going to watch it happen. So, it's just, Mariners are good at throwing baseballs. Let's see here. I thought Ranger Suarez was rostered in 2% of leagues, but that's Chris Flexen. I was like, what are we doing? I was about to like flip my table. Okay. Whew. Okay.
Just a quick note. Jared Jones, 81.2. That needs to be 100.
Yeah.
Zero, dudes.
This is Miller, too. 73.
I guess they don't like say it's a non-saves league. We're just like,
even then, JT, his whip is like,
I know,
like it's 0.6. Like league are you in where it doesn't, you don't need to have like a 0.6 whip that he strikes everybody out. He strikes two guys out in an inning. Like just no pitcher league. I don't know. Like, okay. Like blows my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say though, Jared Jones in my mind is like a top 20 pitcher right now in the league.
Pretty easily.
I'm thinking of like active. Obviously, if some of these names come back from the IL, it might change a little bit. But like he has shown up and shown out, fantasy darling. And yeah, 81 seems a little behind the ball, but
like he's in a different class than Paul Skeens right now, honestly. I just think like I think the sky's the limit for Paul Skeens, but I think if Jared Jones keeps what he's doing up right now, I don't know if Paul Skeens will ever get there. Like, because what Jared Jones is doing right now, like a 0.8 whip Like, his stuff is so good. Like, his stuff is so good. Like, StatCast him. His stuff is so good.
It's a good problem to have for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, like, Jared Jones' stuff's so good. Do you want to touch on, like, droppable guys? Or
yeah, I had one more name real quick. Yeah. We talked about earlier the whole, like, would you rather in a trade scenario based on that fantasy form was Bobby Miller or Walker Buehler. Here's a third name. Would you let's just add, pick one of the three. John Means. I mean, it's just kind of like a similar situation to Walker Buehler. He's coming off the arm injury. He's back fully healthy. First start was amazing. His second start was kind of rough. And so it's just like, it's going to be that. But 23.8% rostered isn't enough. John Means is legit. And when he pitches, you know, he does well. So write out this next few starts just based on matchups. But I think overall, long-term on the season, it's going to pay off for you. Yeah, so droppable. You want to stick with pitchers?
Oh, yeah, we can do that. I'm going to talk to myself. Sean, you could drop Luis Severino.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, there we go. I just wanted Sean to hear that. Yeah, there we go. That's my first big one. Do you have one?
So when you listen back on the pod, you're supposed to be taking your own fantasy advice, Sean. Drop Severino.
Yes, I'll drop Severino. I think I did try to drop him actually like a little bit ago, but the person I went for, I didn't get, so it didn't drop him. So,
okay.
Yeah, I should just like drop and then try to pick up players because I'm just still stuck with Severino. I'm like, well, I'm not going to play you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I mean, I guess I did play him because I was like so out in pitching. I'm like, whatever, I've already lost ERA, and I just played him. But it's time. It's not going to happen anymore like it did in the other New York. So,
right.
It's just what it is. People still roster Hunter Brown at 40% of leagues. I just time to cut that one too. Let's see here.
I'm just chuckling at the Christian Javier start against Detroit this last weekend. I knew it was a bad start. I just never saw the numbers of it. It's just ridiculous. I think he might be one. 76% rostered seems a little bit high. I feel like some of these names that we're saying were lower, I'd have over Christian Javier. Oh,
yeah.
But
that is a strong ad pitcher list this week. Like that we had. Like there's some weeks where I'm like, yeah, you can add that guy, but like pitchers, I was like, this week, I was like, every guy we named, I'm like, that's really like, I really like those guys. So.
Last week,
Grimble, you could officially drop, lost his job, so we're done there.
Yeah.
We
mentioned Reed Detmers last week, but again, 64% still need to keep dropping.
Yep. Did I miss something on Spencer Turnbull? Why is he?
Maybe he lost his rotation spot. Yeah, two relief innings.
Yeah, okay.
Piggyback. Okay, it's a bummer. I'd be totally, I would waiver, or excuse me, watch list him and keep a pulse on that rotation. Because he's pitching so well. I mean, it's not an automatic once he starts games again. It's going to be as good as it was, but that's just a bummer.
Yeah. I think everybody else really for pitchers. Most of them were pretty like around where they, I mean, they're getting there. You know what I mean? Like, let's go to hitters. Let's see here. Who is droppable? Oh my gosh. Screen just popped up in front of me. Okay. Cedric Mullins is rostered in 67% of the league. Is this where I start to say maybe it should be a little lower? He's got 6 home runs and 6 walks, but like, other than that, that's it. And I know those are big, but like, you're playing for Baltimore, you don't have 20 any stat like right now. Like I just, like I'm just like, what are you doing here?
Last 30 days,
30. You're on base is 230.
Yeah, I was gonna say his last 30 days is on base is 181.
Like, he's lucky to have like 17 and 18 in runs and RBIs. So I'm like, I think it's over. Same with I think I talked about it too. Springer. I'm pretty much done on Springer. I think 74. Probably good there. Needs to be much lower. I think Goose is cooked a little bit.
Yeah, saw Haste hit the IL. I didn't. I'm just seeing that. Sorry. Oh,
yeah.
We talked about Cabrian last week.
Yeah. Especially with the IL spot, it's.
That's one of those things where it's just like you feel like it's coming. Maybe Springer was dealing with illness recently. Maybe he randomly hits the IL. Michael Bush, I guess it's only 34%, but I think his streak is kind of over. And it was fun while it lasted, and you can move on to some other hot hitter.
Yeah, Evan Carter too, 68.
I'm there with you. He's been dealing with this back thing, and he had been slowly turning into a semi platoon type. Although he's the strong side, he's a left-handed hitter. It still wasn't ideal.
He just hasn't done much at all the last 15 days, and it's just like,
barely
above 300 on base. Like, his numbers are being carried by early in the season, and I'm just like, I don't know. I wasn't into it too much last year either, and I was like, I don't know. I see some flaws here. I just think it's spilling over to this year.
So I will say both my boys in our 12-team league, I dropped Taylor Ward and Jung Ho Lee. Yeah, it was tough. It was before Lee hit the IL, but with Ward, Trout's gone. That lineup is completely different.
Yep.
His ratios are great, but in fantasy baseball, you need counting stats, and it's not going to be there. And in 12 team, I pivoted and changed direction. Same with Lee. He's going to have a lot of hits and runs, but not a big walker. You know, he's kind of like Ichiro light, if you will. I needed power out of my lineup, and he was the one that kind of made sense at the time. So,
those are
tough decisions to make. But
how is Michael Harris the second rostered 93% of leagues? He's got five steals, but like,
jeez,
but like, he plays for the Braves and has 15 RBIs mm-hmm. and has a 300 on base. So I'm like, it should be rostered in a decent number of leagues, but 93 is way too high. It's just way too high.
Right.
Unlike pitchers, I feel like I could go a lot with hitters.
You just keep going.
Yeah. You got anybody else you really need to target? Because I could just keep rattling off guys, I think.
I will say that I'm glad Dansby Swanson hit the IL, and then you could like stash him there, because that was starting to get pretty rough in terms of rostering him. So hopefully that's a good excuse for him to get healthy and then come back full strength. So, but
Lourdes Gurriel is rostered 86% of leagues and has a 270 on base.
Mm-hmm.
You should look at his last 15 days, JT. It actually has been like the last, like, there was a stretch where he had like a 4-game hit streak where it was really nice. And then other than that, it's
look at that.
In 15 days. So I'm just, it's 270 on base. So it needs to be much less than 86%.
Travis d'Arnaud really needs Sean Murphy to come back.
Yeah.
That is.
Like, I did not sign up for all of this work, guys.
I was just scrolling. I was like, is there any name that has zero home runs, zero stolen bases, and zero RBI? Scroll. Who's this guy, Travis d'Arnaud? Well, it's not like I'm saying drop him, but man, he probably could use
a little hot streak there, though, a little bit. And it was just like, he's like, hey guys, I could play a little bit while Sean runs out. And he's like, Sean's still out. Crap.
He's like, that's all I got. That's really my tank.
Yeah, he's like, that's all I got.
Yeah, because the 2 weeks prior, so his 30-day is super respectable. Yeah. But in the last 15, he's just like may hit, and he was just like, I'm melting.
Ooh, rough. This is
not what I signed up for.
Four RBIs. Yeah, you're right. Like, there's nothing. There's just nothing over there. Like, man, you get no RBIs playing for the Braves. It's not going you're not doing things. So that is rough. Last 15 days, you have zero. You only have four runs too for that team. Not good. Not good. Yeah, I think we're good there.
Yep.
So yeah, Mike Ford, player of the week, Dad Bod player of the week,
stand up triple.
Yeah, top 20 in hard hit baseball this as well. So there you go. And it wasn't even the triple. So
right
there you go.
We salute you, Mike Ford. That's impressive. Keep chugging.
There you go.
Cool. Well, I'll wrap it up for this week. As always, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you listening. Take care, be well, and until next time, see ya.
See ya.